At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. First off, it's my birthday. I'm so excited. Thank y'all for everybody who has been reaching out this week for birthday wishes, all the things. I love y'all real bad. I am officially the big 3-5, and I have learned a lot in my 30s. Your 30s are a time to redefine, a time to go through your life, evaluate. And what's really beautiful is that you don't have to wait until your birthday to do it. Every day that God wakes us up with fresh grace, fresh mercy, and you decide, you know what? I have the agency to really shift the situation. I have the authority within the God-given boundaries that He has allotted to me to do what I need to do so I can live life more abundantly, not in heaven, but also on earth. Okay, not only in heaven, but also on earth. I love y'all. Thank y'all for riding this ride with me. I am so grateful. I have so much gratitude in my heart. You may say, friend, what you doing today? Girl, I'm about to take me and my puppies. We about to go to Starbucks because she going to get her free coffee. And I'm going to the zoo so I can feed the giraffes. I got asked to come and speak to some students at a local nursing school. And so I am just loving on myself. It has been an all week occurrence, dinner with friends, wineries. It's just been a thing. And so I am living life in a way that doesn't seem extravagant, but baby girl, I'm having a time. If you want to do anything for me for my birthday, here's what you can do. Go on over and subscribe to my YouTube channel if you haven't. Go ahead and download the Spiritual Well app if you have an Apple iPhone. Android users, I'm working on it, okay? Literally this week, I have been working on it. So in the next coming days, hopefully by next week, you'll be able to see that in the Google Play Store. And you can rate and review the podcast. Like, let me know how it's blessing you. Let me know what you like, okay? Those are all things that are very free, but very much mean a lot to me. That's what I want for my birthday, friend, period. Okay. Now I'm excited for today's episode. We're taking a little bit of break from how to build a life that doesn't exhaust you. And I really see this more so as an ancillary lesson, because what happens is we try to throw these new routines in. We try to build this whole new life and we struggle with consistency. And shout out to the ladies in the society. We had our Bible study last night, our recovery room session, where we talked about this in totality. And I walked them through the process of change, because there's an actual process for change. And a lot of us don't know that. That's the gag. But what I want to talk about here is I want to bring to y'all these 7 principles of inconsistency, right? A lot of us know what we should be doing. You already know that you need to be studying, praying, getting enough sleep, setting boundaries, but then actually doing it consistently is where we get caught up, like Usher or the Rapture, whichever one you would like to insert, we get caught up, okay? Here's what I need you to understand, though. A lot of times you take that as a punitive knock against your morality, against who you are, against your character. However, inconsistency is not just a lack of discipline. It's not just laziness. What it actually is, it is your brain doing exactly what it's designed to do. It is your brain which is an organ that's on the inside of your body, doing what it was wired to do. And we take on a lot of our mental health challenges, things that we need to overcome, we take them on as morality issues instead of understanding that your brain is an organ. There are neurotransmitters, chemicals, things of the such that impact the way that it functions, and that impacts your behavior. It's not an excuse for you to be out here wilding. However, when you have a better understanding, you can work with your brain in a way that allows you to achieve consistency. Being inconsistent does not happen only because you are a lazy person. You want to know somebody who struggled with this? Paul. In Romans 7, he talks about, "For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I don't want to do, I keep on doing it." That's Romans 7:19. Now, we're going to talk about it in context, okay? Because what's actually happening is Paul isn't talking about procrastination. He's describing a tension that is between having a renewed mind that delights in God and his law and a body that still defaults to old patterns. When you read the scripture, the flesh, Paul talks about, is the human tendency to rely on what feels natural, what feels safe and automatic, even when it runs against the Holy Spirit. And so in verse 23 of Romans 7, he says, I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind. Friend, did you hear what I said? I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind. That means that there is a war between what he knows to do and what he actually does. And it is the same war that you and I feel when we intend to pray, but somehow you ended up on TikTok. I don't get it. When we know that we need to plan our rest and we need to build a sustainable life, but here we are once again overcommitting. Paul's framework really gives us a name to the spiritual reality of having divided desire. And then we have neuroscience, which we're going to talk about today, so you can understand the mechanics of the struggle. Your brain is going to default to what is familiar, what is low energy, and what is immediately rewarding. So when we talk about inconsistency today, I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. This is not just a you problem, and it's not just a new problem either. Paul wrestled with this. Scripture recognizes that. And I want to explain, using science, how it shows up in our daily lives. So we'll break down the 7 principles of inconsistency. And as you go through this, I want you to highlight some of the very real reasons that your follow-through falls apart. Today isn't even about trying to fix it. I just want you to become aware today. Because then once you have a level of awareness, you can be more strategic in what you're praying for. Remember that God designed our brains, so we need to understand how they work so we can be a good steward over our minds. We can follow through instead of us working against it and being on the struggle bus. The gap between what you know and what you do has nothing to do with you being broken. It is just proof that you need both the power of the Holy Spirit, because with the fruits of the Spirit, you can have love, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. And also you need the strategy, so you can bridge them together. I want you to understand how your mind works. Your mind, your brain, is not here for your ambition. She don't care that bad. The job of your brain is to do 2 things: to keep you safe and to run efficiently. To keep you safe and to run efficiently. This is why comfort zones are a thing. Because your brain said, I don't know the unknown over there. And also, it is inefficient for us to be trying something new. That's why comfort zones exist. Even when you know that it's costing you progress, even when you know it goes against what you should be doing as a Christian, your brain is like, that's new. Yuck. I'm not doing it. Your brain has three core features, okay? This is the system. It's a prediction machine. When you read studies, it tells you that your brain essentially works like a prediction machine. It constantly guesses what is about to happen so it can prepare your body. So that means that known routines equals accurate predictions equals your nervous system being calm. But new routines, that's uncertainty. And uncertainty triggers caution signals like hesitation, like procrastination, like distracting busy work. So that's why scrolling on your phone feels easier than opening your Bible. Your brain can predict the dopamine hit from scrolling, but getting in the Word has less immediate certainty and payoff. So your brain is a prediction machine. Your brain also runs on what we call an energy economy. Habits run on different modes. Old behaviors are on autopilot. It runs on a different system. It runs in the basal ganglia. That's a part of your brain. It's cheap. It's efficient. It's like them 99-cent bag. Well, ain't nothing 99-cent no more, child. Y'all know them small bags of chips I'm talking about, okay? Y'all remember when zebra cakes was 25 cents? All right. So it runs on this very cheap and efficient form of autopilot. But when you start trying to add new behaviors, your brain has to go into manual mode. It is using your prefrontal cortex, that front part of your brain, and that costs more money. Okay? It costs more brain money. So when you're stressed, tired, when your brain defaults to that cheaper route, it's because it is out of funds. Okay, this is why you can't go trying to overhaul everything all at once. You are requiring something of your brain. And she said, girl, we are not little scrappy. We ain't got money in the bank. Okay, what do you think this is? I don't have it to give to you. But that's why your motivation feels like it runs out. It costs money to run new patterns in this system. If the tank is low, your brain is going to go back to what we already got at the house. You got habits at home. Okay? So this is why you have to habit stack. You can't just go trying to overhaul everything at once and then get mad at yourself when it all falls apart. Your brain does not operate like that, friend. And then the last system that your brain runs on is what we call a threat bias. Things that are novelty and things that are uncertain, they can trigger your brain's threat detection system. It is like you having an alarm system in your house. It's like, what's that? What's that? Your amygdala, which is the part of your brain. Remember I told you she hijacks the plane. Like, oh, this is unsafe. That's that fear center in your brain. It will alarm and then your body starts tensing up. Your breathing get a little shallow. Now you're procrastinating. Now you're fidgeting. Okay? Or now you're deciding, I'm going to clean the kitchen instead. It is a safety reflex. Your body is literally trying to keep you out of the perception of danger. And that's what the gag is here. We perceive danger. This is like in Psalm 23, where scripture says, that we are like sheep, because sheep do the same thing. The perception of danger sends them running. That doesn't mean that there's actual danger. And sometimes the gag is they will run into actual danger trying to escape the perception of danger. Your body cannot, your brain cannot tell the difference between a saber-toothed tiger and an email that is overwhelming you. Your body can't tell the difference between you running for your life because you're being chased by whatever animal scares you, okay? And you being in traffic and you got an attitude. It cannot tell the difference. When we talk about consistency, understanding how your brain works, it matters because a new behavior is uncertain. It's high effort and it's unrewarding right now. So your brain, it says, it's a no for me, dog. American Idol style, it's a no for me. And your values and what you're trying to do is saying, yeah, let's do it. And your brain said, absolutely not. That's why consistency improves when you can make the new behavior predictable by adding new cues that are very clear, when you can lower the effort by fewering the steps, by simplifying systems, and when you can build in immediate rewards, small wins, checking something off of a box, emotional payoffs. And what happens is we try to build these big elaborate systems that don't even belong to us. We are out here doing what I call subscription-based living. You're picking and choosing things that you see online that you think works for other people, but you haven't even seen the quality of their life. You don't even know if it's sustainable in their own life, let alone yours. And understanding the safety and routine system is the foundation. Because every one of the seven principles of inconsistency that I'm about to go through with you is just your brain following this wiring. Your brain said, oh, I can't predict that. Nope. Oh, that costs way too high. We gonna cut it. Not doing it. Oh, is that a tiger? No, girl. Y'all know something that be getting me? I can't tell y'all how many times I've seen like a piece of hair on the floor and thought it was a spider and lost my mind. Ah, it's a tarantula. Why would a tarantula be in my house? No, girl, get the hair off the floor. But that's that threat bias, right? My brain's like, oh my God, is that a spider? No. I respond to the perception of danger instead of just getting the vacuum to get the hair up. And that's a silly example, but it's an example nonetheless. So when we look at these seven principles of inconsistency, I need you to know all of them work off of this system. So let's get into the first one. Present bias beats long-term goals. We talked about this. Psychologists call this temporal discounting. So studies show that the brain consistently overvalues immediate reward and undervalues delayed ones. This is why you reach for your phone instead of your Bible, because the reward hits instantly. So if you want consistency in your life, you need to bake in a win. Whether that's a check mark on your tracker, you need something that is a short burst of dopamine from finishing this piece of studying, whatever it is, whether you take 5 minutes of celebrating after, whatever the immediate payoff is, you need to think about it and you need to incorporate it. Without the immediate payoff, your brain is going to keep choosing the quick hit. That's what it's wired to do. Second, your brain does not run off of willpower. It runs off of bandwidth. It runs off of bandwidth. Has nothing to do with whether or not you're willing. Okay. My spirit is willing. My flesh is weak. That's the word. Your brain is part of the flesh. So understanding that we have to know bandwidth. Research in cognitive psychology, we know that bandwidth is our fuel tank. Okay? If you're stressed, tired, doing too much, this is why you have to start cutting some things. Your executive functioning, that front part of your brain, it is compromised. This is why these complex systems, okay? When I taught this in the society last night, I said, don't buy.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Friends, something that stresses me out in my quiet time is when I'm trying to highlight something in the book of Joshua, but somehow the ink ends up in the book of Revelation, and the Lord has supplied a solution, Mr. Pen. Mr. Pen is an amazing company that was started by Christian teachers in Louisiana, and girl, you can tell, these Bible study supplies are phenomenal. I have the Bible journaling kit. I also got the Bible study sticky notes and the tabs, and girl, they are everything I need and more. And you need it too, friend. The Bible study kit has highlighters that do not bleed through my Bible. I only want Christ to bleed for me. I don't need the highlighters to do the same. And Mr. Pen has figured out the solution. It has pens, highlighters. It has stickers for prophecies, themes, like it is literally everything. And because teachers are teachers, it has a bag to put all of my supplies in. I am in love. The Bible study sticky tabs have dates for me to hold myself accountable to memorizing my verses. So I'm not just sitting there staring at them, but I'm able to continue to really progress in learning the word and keeping it in my heart. And I am in love. They even have custom products for churches, schools, conferences. They sell school supplies. They have Bibles. Everything that you need is over at Mr. Pen. So whether you're upgrading your own quiet time or you want to gift for a friend, Mr. Pen is the move. I need you to shop the best Bible journaling supplies on the market and fantastic gifts for the ladies in your life at MrPen.com. That's MRPEN.com. And guess what? Our audience gets a special discount. Use the code PURPOSE10 at checkout to get 10% off of your entire order today. That is MrPen.com and use the code PURPOSE10 at checkout to get 10% off of your entire order today. Not another Notion template that's complex and all over the place. It's not that you don't care. Your brain said, girl, get somebody else to do it. I'm tapped out. So you have to simplify tasks. You have to use clear prompts for your brain so we can start saving some bandwidth. Sticky note reminders, one-step habits, pre-decided routine. You have to have it so you can be consistent. Number three, emotional resistance is always going to outweigh logic. Avoidant behavior is driven by the brain's threat system, not a lack of your rationale. That amygdala that's on the inside of your brain, it flags discomfort as danger. And so your body learns to associate relief with avoidance. That's why putting something off feels so rewarding, because it calms that anxiety short term. But we all know when that due date comes, you're going to be stressed. Every time you avoid something, you are reinforcing your brain cycle. That's why the way out of this is emotional labeling and regulation. Get the Spirituel app. Head on over to the feel section. You have to start learning how to label your emotions. Research has shown that simply naming the emotion, it reduces the intensity of it. So saying something like, I feel anxious about this task, is going to tell your brain, okay, she didn't answer the alarm. The amygdala triggers their alarm. You say, hey, I'm feeling anxious about this because. And then you can pray about it and be very strategic in your prayer. And also your prefrontal cortex can turn back on and say, okay, I understand that. But your emotional resistance, if you don't deal with it, you're not going to be able to be consistent. Number four, friction. Friction, okay? Friction and cues are going to decide who wins. Who wins the dance, baby? Who wins? There's something called behavioral economics, okay? And this is called, in behavioral economics, being able to utilize and understand friction and cues has to do with something that we call choice architecture. Whatever option is easiest and most obvious is going to win. So environmental cues drive behavior more than motivation does. If your phone is on the desk, that's a cue. If your Bible or study guide is zipped up in a bag somewhere, if your Bible's in the closet, the friction is too high. So the fix is that you make the desired behavior more obvious and easy, and you make the undesired one inconvenient. This is why people who prep their gym clothes at night are able to exercise more consistently. They removed friction. Put your phone somewhere inconvenient and put your Bible on the nightstand and see what happens. It's something that simple. Remove friction and then make the habit that you want to stop, make it more difficult to engage. This is why I don't have social media apps on my phone. If I want to get on social media, I have to go to the app store, download the app. Annoying. Have you ever tried to scroll through TikTok on a web browser? Annoying, but I don't want to spend hours on there. So I make it inconvenient for my brain to do that. Number 5, the intention behavior gap. It is a real thing. Just simply saying I plan to is not going to very often translate into action. Girl, I'm planning on going to the zoo. And I'm going to the zoo to feed the giraffes today. You know what I did before I hit record on this podcast? Instead of me just talking about it, I said, girl, buy your tickets right now and quit playing. Went online. And now I can say, I'm going to the zoo at 1 o'clock to feed the giraffes. When you talk about the research on implementation intentions, it shows that when you specify when, where, and what of a behavior, it makes it far more likely to happen. So instead of saying, I'm going to study later, you say at 7 o'clock, I'm going to sit down at the kitchen table and I'm going to do 50 board prep questions. That removes a lot of that ambiguity. It removes a lot of decision fatigue. And those are two of the biggest killers of follow through. That right there, just being very specific on when, where, and what. I am going to the zoo at 1 o'clock to feed the giraffes. That's it. Instead of me thinking about it, hemming and hawing, and 1 o'clock would have came and went, and I didn't even know that that was the only time slot available. Do you see what I'm saying? Ambiguity and decision fatigue are two of the biggest killers of follow through. So pick one thing that you've been struggling with and decide to remove some ambiguity. Remove some of the decisions. For me, I don't have to ask myself, what am I wearing to work? You want to know what I have? Black scrubs. And then I have a couple of t-shirts from the job that go with these green pants. But I know I have a very set black scrubs. Why? It removes me having to think about what I'm going to wear. I literally will say to my husband, something's in that drawer, anything. I don't have to think about it. I know what it is. It fit. It's clean. It works. Remove the decision fatigue. So if you're somebody who struggles to get up in the morning, lay your clothes out. Matter of fact, I tell parents to do this all the time with their kiddos that have ADHD. Get some of those clear drawers. Monday through Friday. Put your clothes in there. I mean, down socks, underwear, all of it. Put it in there. So now if you wake up and you decide you want to wear the outfit in the Tuesday drawer, and you don't even have to label them by day, just put them in there and you can pick one of these 5 things. But we're not deviating from this. This is going to remove that decision fatigue. So your morning will be better. And on Sundays, you just reset the drawer. You see what I'm saying? It's something as simple as that to remove you having to make choices while your brain is using brain money to try to do this new routine. Number 6 is identity mismatch. Identity mismatch kills your momentum. In social psychology, this is called a self schema. If your identity script is, well, I'm inconsistent, I don't never do XYZ, your brain filters all of your wins as a fluke. And it goes looking for proof that you're going to fail again. This is where we talk about in the Bible that life and death are in the power of the tongue. We oftentimes talk about that in terms of us trying to name it and claim it. Y'all know we're not on that. That's not how that works. We talk about that in terms of how we speak to other people. But for some reason, the way that you speak to yourself, we don't check ourselves on life and death being in the power of our tongue there. How you identify yourself. Hey, I'm becoming dot, dot, dot. I'm becoming consistent in dot, dot, dot. I'm becoming a gym girly. And this is a part of me becoming. When you start to shift to identity-based habits and you change that script, you start saying things like, I'm the kind of person who studies my Bible daily. It starts to reshape your brain. And then you start stacking those small wins that confirms that evidence. Oh, look, I went into the Spiritual Well app and spent 10 minutes reading part one of this month's devotional. I'm studying. As that story starts to shift, consistency becomes self-fulfilling instead of self-sabotaging. Mm-hmm, friend. Mm-hmm. How are you talking to yourself? You keep talking about, oh, I'm broke, I'm broke, I'm broke. Cool. So when you actually get a hold of money, your brain will be like, girl, okay. Okay. Because your brain is a prediction machine. Finally, we have to understand all or nothing equals all or nothing. Come here, perfectionism girlies. Come here. The reason that perfectionism demolishes habits is because the bar is set too high. You haven't ran since recess in the fifth grade, and somehow you're about to do a triathlon. Why? Why? That's how we set the bar for ourselves. So we do things like this. We miss something one time and the streak feels broken. And so you just throw the whole thing away. All or nothing thinking is a cognitive distortion. It is a distorted way of thinking. So if God gives you grace and compassion, and you're made in his image and in his likeness, and you're also supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself, if you're not extending grace and compassion to yourself, how are you going to extend that to someone else? How are you behaving in God's image and in his likeness when you aren't exuding grace and compassion for yourself? Notice I'm not saying making excuses, but life be lifing, girl. And does. So research on self-compassion shows that people who give themselves grace after mistakes, they're able to sustain their habits longer than people who punish themselves. Do some reading on self-compassion and becoming resilient. Question yourself on how do you treat yourself after you make a mistake? What are you doing to punish yourself? Because a lot of us are punitive with ourselves, and then we make these really shady decisions, and we somehow attribute that to the Lord. Immediately, even in your thinking, oh, God must be mad at me. Huh? Did he say that? Or did he say, while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die for us? Because he so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. What did he say? Do you see how we have conditioned ourselves to punish ourselves? This is why setting the bar so small when you're doing something new matters. 5 minutes. read one page, do 10 reps. When we look at behavior design, this is called your minimal viable habit. Do the smallest thing you can do. It keeps the streak alive and it trains your brain to see success as something that is accessible and not something that is all or nothing. I started going to physical therapy a couple of months ago because my hips, okay, Shakira's hips don't lie, mine was telling lies. And part of my physical therapy is to do these stretches. And one thing that my PT doctor told me was that I need to start incorporating stretching into what I'm already doing. So there are some of the stretches that she's shown me that I do while I'm charting at work. And it's like, oh, I stretched today. Me busting down 45 minutes of a stretch routine, not going to happen right now. But I'm able to participate in stretching by incorporating it into what I'm already doing at work. Set the bar low to start new habits. This is why we struggle with consistency. I'm going to give you all seven again. Present bias beats long-term goals. Bandwidth, not willpower, is what's actually running the show. Emotional resistance is always going to outweigh logic. Friction and cues are what decides the winner. The intention and behavior gap is a real thing. Your identity mismatch is going to kill your momentum. And all or nothing to your brain really means all or nothing. And you don't have to live this way, friend. You don't have to live this way. When you are trying to implement something new, I want you to stop. I want you to stop trying to do 700 of these things at one time. I'm going to change my whole life by Friday. You're not. And then you're going to find yourself in these perpetual cycles where you feel like everything I do, I don't ever see the outcome. How are you trying to execute it, friend? Are you asking something of your brain that is unnatural? Are you putting unrealistic expectations on yourself? I was in a season not too long ago where I did not recognize that the reason I was feeling so overwhelmed was because I was going through this very thing. I was trying to implement all of these new habits, all of them good, but I just started PT, getting a new face routine, eating this, that, and the third. And I was feeling so overwhelmed. And I called a friend of mine and she said, you're going to have to pick one. Because at this point, you are in a place where they only sell junk food. And so all you're eating is the lettuce off of the cheeseburger. And you're starving. I said, girl, I am. I am starving. You was right. Everything is not going to change overnight. I'm going to focus on this habit. I'm going to do this thing. And once I'm able to sustain that, then I can move on to the next. We have to work with the equipment and the tools that God has given us. God gave us these brains. He know how he wired them. So even as you pray, pray and ask God to give you the wisdom to move in a way that is appropriate for your mind, that is appropriate for your needs, and quit trying to cherry pick subscriptions from other people's lives. It's one thing for us to share strategy. However, you need to make sure that it's going to be a good fit. We're borrowing people's lives and productivity hacks and shoes, and you're not making sure that it's the right size for you, that this is the right season for that, that it's sustainable. And so you be on the struggle bus, friend. And I don't want that for you. So as I get ready to wrap, because I'm about to go celebrate, okay? I want you to be kind to yourself. I want you to look at what you've been trying to make yourself do. And I want you write an apology letter to yourself. Girl, I'm sorry. Girl, I'm sorry. I tried it, didn't I? I apologize. Write an apology letter to yourself for all the ways that you have talked crazy about yourself, all the ways that you have put unrealistic expectations on yourself. And in the apology letter, talk about what you're going to do different and how. Okay? Read it aloud to yourself. Girl, I'm so sorry that I have perpetuated dysfunction in our relationship internally. Clock that. Okay? Have this conversation with you and then treat her better. You as her. Okay, I love you, friend. Make sure that you have the app so you can get that homework assignment and you can stay locked in. I cannot wait for us to get back to our series next week. I love you. God bless you. And I'll talk to you later.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.